T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Joining us right now, as he does every Wednesday at 3:35, our insider, our rumor guy, Pro Football Talk and NBC Football Night in America, Mike Florio. He'll be in Philly this weekend. What's up, Mike?
How's it going, guys?
What up, Mike?
Well, big game here in Philly. It's called Dallas Week, and it's lost a little bit of its luster with the Cowboys not being good over the last two decades. But still, we were paying attention on Monday night. Mike, let me ask you this. Jerry Jones said after the loss to the Titans, Jason Garrett's not going to be fired in season, I guess until he is, right? But how big of a mess is the entire organization right now? And are they done this season?
The thing about Jerry Jones, he will completely, totally, and unconditionally support someone until the moment he no longer does. And we've seen it before. It was 8 years to the day that he said he would not be making an in-season coaching change when Wade Phillips was the head coach and Jason Garrett was the coach in waiting. And 3 days later, Jerry Jones made an in-season coaching change. And it was after the next game. It was a Sunday night game. It was an embarrassing game. And out goes Phillips, in comes Garrett. Now, this time around, there isn't a Jason Garrett to replace Jason Garrett, but that won't stop Jerry Jones from doing whatever he thinks he needs to do. And they are a mess right now. When Troy Aikman, who's in the Ring of Honor, at least for now, I guess that's subject to change too, when he comes out and unloads the way he did, he's onto something. And you know, here's the ultimate problem. And I think that the Cowboys' success as a persistent brand, as America's team, as a team that puts butts in the seats and eyeballs on the TV, no matter how bad they are, or I guess mediocre would be the word, I think that keeps Jerry Jones from addressing the root causes of the problem, from realizing his own ego gets in the way, then that he doesn't want to have a head coach who's going to run the show, that he wants a head coach who will happily be subservient to Jerry. And I think Jerry, with 3 Super Bowl trophies that he won while he was riding shotgun to Jimmy Johnson and Barry Switzer, who basically was driving Jimmy Johnson's car, Jones wants to win on his own. He wants to be responsible for the building of the team, and he'd rather be the captain of a mediocre ship than being in that sidecar while there's a great coach leading him to victory. And the best contrast is the Patriots, because, yeah, Robert Kraft owns the team, but Bill Belichick runs the team, period. And until the Cowboys have a coach like that, they're going to continue to be 7-9, 8-8, 6-10, 9-7, get to the playoffs, lose in the first round kind of a team.
That was a bad loss on Monday night. Do you think that if they were ever going to respond, it would have been at home, coming off of a bye against a team, I guess, going into the game people thought they were going to beat? Do you expect a desperate team this Sunday night against the Eagles that has a chance to win?
Yeah, but you know what? What happens when the Cowboys are desperate? What do they do differently than what they do any other time? There's no imagination. There's no creativity. Chris Sims on PFT Live has been on a rant recently about the lack of imagination that we see from plenty of NFL coaches. And we look at the Patriots, and Doug Peterson's part of this too, creativity, outside the box, doing different things, running trick plays, making things happen, putting your opponent in a tough spot and taking advantage of it. With the Cowboys and like the Packers and some of these other teams, it's like, this is the system and this is what we do. And they keep pounding their head against the wall when it works, when it doesn't work. And there's no flexibility, there's no creativity. And they got away from, the Cowboys did the other night, their bread and butter. They're down 7 points most of the second half, and Ezekiel Elliott has 6 touches in the second half. And I feel like there was an unnecessary desperation, an unnecessary urgency from the Cowboys on Monday night. And I think it's all a result of that seemingly desperate trade for Amari Cooper, the firing of offensive line coach Paul Alexander. I think it threw the coaching staff off kilter, and it created a bit more of a frenetic reaction than I think they should have had, because it still wasn't enough to shake them into making, you know, creative plays and strategies and attempts on offense. And there's just a vanilla quality to that team that they don't have. If you have great players, you can be that way. If you don't have great players, you can't pull it off.
Yeah, it's funny. Eagles go on a bye week, and they gain a lot of ground on the NFC East just based on what the teams around them did this past weekend. Redskins lose at home to the Falcons. Cowboys lose at home to the Tennessee Titans. I guess the Eagles need to step up, Mike, and take advantage of, I guess, this wide-open division and really poke his head out as the best team, or do you see the Eagles being that team in his division?
Table set for the Eagles. And you're right, it was a great day. Washington loses badly at home and loses three offensive starters for the season in the process. The Cowboys look uninspired with 15 days to get ready for a Titans team they should have beaten. And now you've got 8 games left, 4 of them against the Cowboys and against Washington, the 5th one against the Giants, and then those other 3 games, very intriguing because those 3 teams that the Eagles play that aren't in their division, all top 10 teams right now in the NFL, the Texans, the Saints, and the Rams. So we learn a lot about how competitive the Eagles are going to be in the postseason in those 3 games, but the other 5 games, if they win those 5 games, I think they win the division just because they'll hold every tiebreaker at that point.
Right.
Against Washington and Dallas. And, unless either of those teams do remarkably well in the games they don't lose to Philadelphia, then Philadelphia's going to win that division. So the question I have now is, can the Eagles get to the point where they're good enough to go on the road in the divisional round, in the conference championship game, if they qualify for it, and win? Big difference between playing at home and playing on the road in the playoffs. And
sure,
this year the Eagles are going to have to do it the hard way. But I think, you know, if you have to pick a team coming out of that division right now, I think the Eagles is the favorite by far.
Yeah, and you'd almost want to play, if you get to the playoffs, Mike, you win your home playoff game, you want to go to L.A. Because, you know, even though they may be the more talented team over the Saints, and I think that's certainly a one way or another, but at least L.A., they make it tight. They lost last year. They haven't won a playoff game. Drew Brees has been there before. That's a tough place to play. So you can kind of see the template for how the Eagles would get back there this year, but they have to, like you said, you have to win the division games, get in the playoffs, and then take care of it from there.
That divisional round game that the Rams host, assuming they get one of the 2 byes, and barring a collapse down the stretch, they will, that is going to be a ton of pressure on the Rams. They don't have much playoff experience, and their one guy who has extensive playoff experience, Andrew Whitworth, his experience is one and done with the Bengals. And last year, one and done, and they're going to be very, very tight. And we've seen it before. In recent years, the 1 seed and the 2 seed tend to hold serve after they have that bye week. But we've seen a pattern, and for some years it's been like 50-50, where that team that has the week off, that hosts a team that played a playoff game, that won a playoff game, that comes in with no expectations, they're loose. You know, you get popped in the mouth early, it's hard to recover from that. And the Eagles may have that opportunity to knock off a team like the Rams or the Saints. And I think you're right, the Rams are the team they should want to play in the divisional round, because I think it's going to be easier to beat the Rams in L.A. There'll be a ton of Eagles fans at that game.
Yeah.
There'll be a ton of them. And the Eagles will get a chance to play out there just a few weeks before what would be a playoff rematch.
Yeah, it's funny you bring that up about the teams with the bye week in that divisional round. Playing that team that's coming off of, obviously, winning the wild card weekend, the Eagles and the Vikings really escaped their divisional round games last year, right? I mean, we had to stop the Falcons on 4 downs at the end of the game to get past them after the bye week, and Minnesota needed the miracle to get past the Saints.
They had to pull a rabbit out of their head.
That head is full of thick hair for some reason this week.
Yeah,
right?
You have a good head of hair. Did he color it darker? Because I hadn't noticed it before this week. We're talking about Jason Witten's haircut.
All I know is this. Last year, when he would take his helmet off, it sure doesn't look like it looks on Monday night.
Well, it's either toupee or restoration. And I've had some hair restoration for real, Mike, and it looks great. So that's why it piques my interest.
It's something that involves either pharmaceuticals and or carpets. One or the other.
Yeah. Hey, I'm talking to Mike Fleury at ProFootballTalk.com. Dez Bryant's finally back in the NFL. Ike and I talked about this for weeks when the Eagles had a need of wide receiver. It just didn't seem like he really wanted to play. He had opportunities. He passed up money and contract, but he's finally back in the NFL, and he's with the Saints. Do you have details? Is he making money? Do you think this is a wise move by New Orleans?
I haven't seen the numbers yet. Now, the Browns had offered him like less than $5 million in hard dollars, and he could have made some money back with incentives. And I got to give Dez Bryant credit. For all the criticism he gets, I think his instincts were probably screaming at him when he went to meet with the Browns, do not sign with this team. I mean, I'd say anyone with a decent amount of common sense, if you observe the interaction between Hugh Jackson and Todd Haley for 5 minutes, you're going to be like, I ain't, what the hell, I'm not playing here. And he resisted when the Browns were the only team that wanted him, and they really wanted him. He resisted to his credit, or he'd be stuck in a bad spot right now. And, you know, I think with the Saints, and it really wasn't about money for Dez because he's got a lot that he saved and he's made a lot in Dallas. I think this provides him with a great opportunity to do what I said he should have done. That when the season arrives and you aren't on a team yet, whenever you do sign, you know, it's like changing a tire on a moving car to try to get up to speed with a new offense, new playbook, new verbiage, new quarterback, new coach, new everything. He's got time to get up to speed, and then when the postseason rolls around, he can really make a big contribution, and all those teams that have been knocked out can watch him on TV and say, this is a guy we got to put at the top of the list for free agency 2019 if he can contribute the way that maybe the Saints think that he will. And if it doesn't work, we saw what they did last year with Adrian Peterson, right? It didn't work, and they just moved on. And the Saints aren't going to let one guy disrupt what they're doing. And if Dez Bryant ends up being any type of distraction, Sean Payton won't hesitate to say, we tried it, it doesn't work, and we're willing to admit our mistake. You know, Sean Payton's one of those coaches who realizes the worst thing you can do when you've made a mistake is double down on it. If you make a mistake, admit it and get rid of it and move on. And I think they will do that if Dez ends up being something other than who he clearly sold them yesterday that he would be.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Yeah, I'd be shocked if he doesn't turn into Ocho Cinco in New England, where he may be on the roster, but he's just on the roster.
Well, and you know what? That's a great point, because the thing that happened with Ocho Cinco in New England, when you change who a guy is, sometimes it changes who he is as a player. And I remember making that observation at one point on Twitter and him retweeting it or reacting to it or liking it, and that told me, you know, we're on to something here, because he got his wings clipped in New England, and it took away a lot of who he was. So can Dez be kind of flatlined from a personality standpoint, strip the emotion out of it, and still be the kind of player that he was in Dallas?
Hey, Mike, give us a quick update on Le'Veon Bell. We know he put the tweet out saying goodbye, Miami. A lot of people thought that meant he's returning to the Steelers, but then there's reporting saying he's not going to return. The video I saw today, apparently he's in Pittsburgh working out. What's the latest with Le'Veon, and what do you expect?
Well, there's something very odd that's going on with Le'Veon Bell now. I believe that the Steelers are trying to get him to not show up at all this year. I think they're trying to lay the foundation for him to not show up, because I guarantee you that back in early September, Le'Veon Bell and his agent were under the impression that in order to put the Steelers in the position where they'd have to use the quarterback franchise tag to squat on him next year, he had to show up for the last 6 weeks of the season, right? He had to show up by the Tuesday after week 10.
Right.
And now as we get closer to that deadline, all of a sudden NFL media has got multiple reporters saying that the Steelers in the league believe if he doesn't show up at all this year, the use of the franchise tag on him next year would still require the application of the quarterback franchise tag, because it would be the third application of the tag, even though he didn't show up at all for the second application of the tag. And I just feel like the Steelers are trying to find a way to get this guy not to show up. They don't want to rescind the tender because they don't want him to go play for the Ravens or the Patriots. I don't think they want him there because everything's going very well without him and he could be a distraction and a problem. I think this stuff is being put out there to goad him into not showing up, and then they'll worry about next year when next year comes. But I think the Steelers have made the calculated decision. We don't want this guy, but we don't want anyone else to have him either. And I think that's why all of a sudden, as we're a week away from that deadline, we're hearing these reports from reporters who are employed by the league and indirectly by the team, putting this out there to try to get, I believe, Le'Veon Bell to not show up.
We'll see how, and he's in Pittsburgh, of course, almost taunting the Steelers.
Yeah,
working
I mean,
out.
I've you know, fans with sources, fans with eyeballs, I don't know what you call it, but I've heard from different people who saw him at the LA Fitness playing basketball, and KDKA-TV in Pittsburgh ran something about it. So, yeah, he's back and he's playing basketball, and you know what? One false move, sprain an ankle, and we've all been there. You tweak something playing basketball, and you don't pass your physical when you show up, you got a real problem.
Yep. All right, Mike. Yeah. Appreciate it, man. Talk to you next week.
See you guys.
Thanks, brother.
There he is, Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com, and he'll be in Philly for the game Sunday night.
Yeah. Yeah. And the Dez thing, listen.
The Ocho Cinco comparison's a great one.
Yeah, I just don't see it. When when the Saints signed him, I'm like,
I was surprised.
Like, why would the Saints sign Dez Bryant? Like, where is he going to play? Like, he has to learn a new position. He's a slot guy. He's not an outside guy. His same deficiencies would lead to Dallas releasing him. They're still there. So unless he became a faster receiver with much more reliable hands.
Yeah, with a lot of drops.
Yeah, he's still the same wide receiver, so where is he going to play at? Not only that, he has to learn an entirely different offense. Like playing the X receiver on the outside, the offense is simple in Dallas. Even Dez Bryant said it was simple, right? It was predictable.
Right.
He complained about the offense.
Did. Yes.
You're going to a mastermind like Sean Payton?
And Drew Brees.
And Drew Brees.
Who doesn't want to hear you don't know
exactly,
the playbook?
Where it's about timing, where Drew Brees is getting the ball out of his hands on time, right? Like, Dez Bryant is going there. I'd be surprised, A, if he contributes anything significantly, B, if he's ever active, and C, if he makes it through the season if they don't release him before the playoffs start because they realize we can't use him.
Yeah, I was...
Can't use him.
I knew they were working him out, but I was surprised. I was surprised they signed him. I was surprised. I thought maybe they were using him as leverage or doing the agent a favor. But I'll tell you what. It's intriguing. He's going to get his first start likely against the Eagles, or first playing time likely against the Eagles. So that you know, makes it a little bit bigger.
He'll show a burst or two for a game. They'll give him some simple routes.
He'll be yelling and screaming.
Some simple plays. But ultimately, listen, Ocho Cinco had the whole offseason and everything. And couldn't figure it out in New England.
888-729-9494.
This guy's going to come in here and learn Sean Payton's offense in a week. Ain't played all year.
Yep.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.